After Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico last fall, we met a Seattle woman who still had not heard from her mother. Fern Marie Rodriguez grew up on the island, and after the storm, she went online and rented her father a Jeep, which he drove across the island to find her mother. He did find her, and she's okay. But Fern Marie told us about the people who were not okay.
The situation is pretty horrific. People are in need of water, food, gasoline, electricity, communication. There's absolutely nothing that is left for them. Some people have lost everything, absolutely everything.
Now, after we spoke about 3.5 months ago, Fern Marie Rodriguez went about trying to bring her mother here to Seattle. Fern Marie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First of all, how's your mother?
She's doing okay. She was... I purchased a flight for her because at the time she still did not have electricity. Even today, what's the 10th of January, folks in the center of the island still do not have electricity. So I didn't have a way to communicate with her. So I purchased a ticket for her and told my brother to go let her know that she was exiting the island. It was a little devastating for her. And when I mean a little, it's she's going through a little bit of a shock having lived there her whole life and come out of the tropical island and into the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Would you mind? I mean, this is her business, but if you are comfortable, I'd like to know more about what that shock is. What is she going through?
Well, anything from what you eat to what you wear to not knowing who to talk to. She doesn't speak English. So even trying to meet her neighbors, she has to have me or my brother translate.
Do you get the impression that she's traumatized in any way from what she went through in Puerto Rico?
I think it's safe to say that millions of people are traumatized. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you consider that today, almost 4 months afterwards, you have 40% of the island who still have no electricity. Their basic lifestyle has collapsed. Just imagine us, right? Like in our lifetime, we've never experienced something over 100 days without electricity. And when that happens, your entire life collapses. You can't go to work. You can't sustain your family. You have no way of contacting other people. You have to, if you're, especially the folks that are in medical need, are suffering tremendously in the island.
You still have other family. You brought your mother and your youngest brother. Are you two brothers?
You brought
one of them here.
Yeah.
But tell us about your family who's still on the island.
Yeah. So my oldest brother is still there. Most of my aunts and uncles have done an exodus as well to other states. But there are people that don't have relatives outside of the island, and they are stuck there with the situation. So to answer your question with regards to other family members, so my brother has electricity, and his employer had electricity, so he didn't have a need to exit. But he tells me every day that the situation is pretty dire for his neighbors, for people that don't have the resources to go out and charge their phones or their laptops somewhere else, or not even have the opportunity to pay their bills, right? So it's just an incredible situation in our lifetime.
When you visited us mm-hmm. about 3 months ago, you were just beginning to set up relief aid,
yeah.
organizing Microsoft coworkers and mm-hmm. others. First of all, why not leave that to groups like the Red Cross?
Why not? I felt like I was in a perfect opportunity, in a perfect position to do something about it. And the Red Cross, my dad works for the Red Cross on the island, by the way. And he was telling me, we're not sending people. It's too dangerous. There's a lot of, as great as the Red Cross is, there's red tape because you can't send people and endanger your employees, which makes sense. But when your family is the one that needs the help, you will risk your life.
Yeah.
So I would risk my life. So I felt that we were in a perfect opportunity to make a difference. So I partnered with a nonprofit organization, 501c3, here, the Puerto Rican Association of Washington State. And they were so gracious to allow me to have a Microsoft attorney put in the paperwork so that we become an umbrella organization. We're called Puerto Rico We Care. We raised over 40,000 pounds of donations from the Seattle community, restaurants, La Isla restaurant, and just about 100 volunteers from Seattle came together to find this aid. And then we were stuck with the situation of how do we send it? So Costco was gracious enough to grant a $50,000 container that they just gave us. We filled it up with 27 pallets. Two of the pallets came directly from the Children's Hospital. Everyone was willing to help. 1,500 pounds of medical supplies were sent directly from the Children's Hospital to the main medical center, Centro Médico, in San Juan. In addition to that, like Kent Solar donated 7,000 pounds of solar panels that we also literally just delivered a week and a half ago. The whole thing took forever to get through. The port in San Juan had 5,000 containers that they had to go through. So
what was the biggest surprise for you in suddenly becoming an umbrella relief, hurricane relief organizer? What surprised you the most through all of that?
You know, one of the most beautiful things is to see that people are willing to help our community, just people like you and me. They're willing to help. Sometimes they don't know how. And we gave them the venue to help. Now, I want to also add, Microsoft employees were highly gracious. In Microsoft alone, we raised over $240,000 from employees, just people that want to contribute and want to help. So we gave them the venue to help. Sometimes people just don't know what to do, but they want to do something.
Now, Fern Marie, this is just a side note that I'd like to bring into this, to your story. You have a job at Microsoft that's made more difficult, I imagine, because you're dealing with your family in Puerto Rico. You're setting up hurricane relief. And by the way, you also made a trip to Orlando, Florida, where the World Latin Dance Cup was happening, and you wanted to compete in it. And how did that go for you?
Well, I had actually trained for 3 years.
Yeah.
This was, the hurricane was not in plan for me.
Yes.
So I had practiced and trained to compete for the first time in December. So December came about. I wasn't sure if I was going to compete. I had not practiced since September.
I would imagine.
So I told my instructor, John Narvaez from San Francisco, I told him, I'm going to go to your house and I'm going to train for 2 weeks. And then we're going to go to the competition and we're going to just wing it. And whatever happens, happens. And I am a world champion.
You won the World Latin Dance Cup. I am a world champion, says Fern Marie Rodriguez. You're laughing.
Well, because it's a little surreal. I couldn't even conceive of the thought of practicing when the hurricane situation was happening.
Of course.
And I just said, you know, it's an easy choice. I don't have to even consider the championship because it's not relevant anymore. I just want my family to be okay. I just want to help. And once everything was established, it was 2 weeks away from competing. On December 4th, I flew to San Francisco. And on the 16th, I became a world champion.
Did the whole hurricane story and your mother, did any of that figure into this dance competition in any way? The stress, that did you get to tell your story as part of it? Were they connected?
No.
Or was this a completely different world?
Completely different world. There were 40 countries represented. I was the only person from Puerto Rico. So it gave
really?
Me more strength, more desire.
Was that because so many people couldn't make it? They had to dash their
You
plan.
Can imagine,
yeah.
Right? So last year, there were a number of Puerto Ricans that made it to the competition. This year, that's not where the mind is. They're in an emergency mode.
I see.
So I was the only person representing my island and stood proud with my flag, only person on stage when they said Puerto Rico. And
standing ovation?
No, well, people didn't know. People kind of forget, which is why I'm so grateful for you having invited me today, because you didn't forget.
You reached out
and you said, hey,
yeah,
we spoke 3 months ago. How is it going?
Yes.
So thank you for not forgetting.
Well, thank you for coming back and telling your story. So I want to hear a little more about you, about your family. First of all, I just want to know what happens next when you're a world Latin dance champion. Do you do TV competition? Do you tour the stage show? Is your bye-bye,
no.
Microsoft? I have a new light. What
no,
happened?
Okay. This is my hobby.
Okay.
And
this is the kind of story that launches a political career, by the way, just in case you're interested. People who do amazing, famous things can...
My instructor jokes and he says to us, because we're a company, he's an extension of San Francisco, is here in Seattle, and he tells us, you guys dance as if you're getting paid for it. Just chill. we do not get paid for it.
Yeah.
It's a hobby. And it's just putting your heart and mind and focus into something that you're passionate about, be it suddenly becoming a founder of a nonprofit,
yeah,
or becoming a world champion, or lighting up everyone in Seattle with fantastic stories every day, right?
Oh.
So whatever your passion is, just go for it.
Fern Marie, what does your mom think of life in Seattle, and how long will she stay here?
We do not know how long she will stay, but I can tell you, for my mom and my brothers, they're going through a cultural shock. I think that anyone who has moved from a foreign country to the United States, even I remember moving into the United States in 2003, and I remember being depressed for a year because of the cultural shock. Everything is different. The language is different. The food is different. The people are different. It's just the way you interact. Everything.
How are the people different? What's shock number one?
So, for example, I'll tell you my experience when I moved here. We greet people with a kiss. This just in our culture. And I remember going to work and being embarrassed because I approached someone and they got scared. And
male or female?
Female coworker.
Okay.
And she just got scared that I approached her to greet her with a kiss. And after that, you never do it again. But little things like that. And I know
they say Seattle freeze. They don't say Seattle kiss as much. It's not as much of a thing here.
People in Seattle are particularly reserved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's 58, right? She lived her entire life in a tropical setting. We would get lunch from grabbing taro roots from the backyard or grabbing bananas from the backyard. And she doesn't have that anymore. So that's just an example. It's just a cultural shock.
How long do you think she'll stay with you here?
I'm hopeful that she can assimilate and she can stay from now on.
You and she don't want her to return to Puerto Rico?
It's not that I don't want her to return. It's just that there's the situation on the island is so dire right now.
Mm-hmm.
Her entire city is without electricity still. So what would you do there? You can't have... Oh, and then let's not forget how hot it is in Puerto Rico, right? Mm-hmm. So even right now, if you look at the temperature, it's like 90 degrees or 95 degrees. So it's a tropical island in the... near the equator, 17 degrees north of the equator. It's hot. And there's no way to cool down. So that's one of the things that the people have mentioned, just having a glass of water. I have heard people cry when they get a cold drink because they haven't had it for over 100 days. So it's not that I want her to stay. I do want her to stay. I just want her to be happy. That's all I want for her. Whatever that is.
One more question, if I can, Fern Marie. When you were here in October, you told us about all the devastation that we've been describing. And then right after that, you barely took a breath before you told us beautiful stories of people helping each other. I remember washing their hair in ponds and smiling. What does that say to you?
I continue to see the beautiful stories. Just one, like a week ago, I saw Eminem.
The rapper Eminem?
No. Eminem Mars, the candy company. Mm-hmm. They sponsored a song for Puerto Ricans. So Puerto Ricans are happy people. And our Christmas is a parade, literally, like pots and pans and noise and drums, and just you literally invade someone's home at 2 a.m, parading. We call them parrandas. And Eminem did a tribute to Puerto Rico and said, well, you may not have electricity, but we'll light up candles and we're still going to go invade your homes. And it was so beautiful to see, like, an American company sympathizing with an entire culture and trying to make it a little bit more soothing and peaceful and happy. And in the end, you still see a little bit of everything. Right now, after 100 days, almost 4 months without electricity, you see in the news, like, the first female that became chief officer in the island resigned because it's just so stressful for the law enforcement in the island. So you will see a little bit of everything. People are becoming desperate. At the same time, you see the culture still being there. You still see light. You still see people smiling. And I hope that something great, it will eventually come out of the devastation that happened there. Even if it's people just discovering that happiness is within themselves and just attaching and leeching on to that until Puerto Rico blooms again, becomes green again.
Fern Marie Rodriguez, her family in Puerto Rico was hit with the rest of the island by Hurricane Maria 3.5 months ago or so, this last fall, and she decided to get her mother and her brother out of there, and she did that. They're here in Seattle now, and she decided to help the people of Puerto Rico, and she became an organizer, a relief aid organizer. And thank you for all of that. And we wish the best for you and your family, your mom, and the island. And thanks for everything you've done.
Thank you for having me here, sharing the story.